Book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 15 is going to be part of our text tonight. Galatians 5 is also going to be part of our text. But I'm going to just read Romans chapter 7 for right now. If we could stand for that, and then when we get to Galatians, you can be seated. It'll be a little bit of reading tonight. Pastor just covered this series of Romans a few months back, and it challenged my heart and ministered to me. And by no means is this, I hope to not be just repeating information. I think it's great how the Lord uses everyday life to speak to us from His Word. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't reading this text whenever this thought came to me. I was watching a documentary. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. Was watching a documentary. And as I was watching that, the verses from this text came to my heart and has just been with me for the past several weeks. And so I want to preach tonight on monsters inside me. Monsters inside me. It sounds a little silly, but just bear with me, okay? We're going to read our text here tonight. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If you want a tongue twister, there you go. What is he saying here? The stuff that I really don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I long to do, I just don't get to them. I don't do them. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I want us to remember that. I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. This is going to be our main text tonight, verse 23. And I'm going to read verse 24 and 25 here in a second, but I want to review again verse 23. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Do you ever feel like there's a tug of war going on inside you? Am I the only one that feels that way, that I wrestle not even outside things? It's this. It's the heart, the mind. And we find ourselves continually waking up all over again, Brother Cecil, to find that we are in a battle. We're in a war. Verse 24 says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And the first part of verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wrestle, we fight, we war inside of ourselves. It seems like there is a monster inside of me. There are times that I question in the mirror, "Who are you? You know, I don't understand you. I don't know why I'm in this place." But God knows who we are tonight. I was so appreciated what Brother Bill said and talking about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, God knows who you are tonight. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what you battle on the inside. If we had a microscope applied to our hearts, I would say that there are many of us who would prefer that not to happen, because you and I know that there are things that we wrestle against, and it seems like we're just never going to get past it. But one of these days, hallelujah, hallelujah, God is going to deliver us completely from all fighting, from all wrestling. Brother David, I've got a home in heaven, and it's not just because Jesus is there or a mansion of gold. It's because we are going to put on the immortality of Christ. We're going to get rid of this corruptible and take on incorruption. Hallelujah. We are battling tonight, church, but we don't have to lay down and just take it. We can be victorious, and we will be if we identify the monsters inside of us. Amen. Why don't we bow our heads and pray tonight? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would clarify it to our hearts, illuminate it to our minds. God, we ask you that you would help us to receive your word tonight the way that it was intended. I pray that you would apply it to our hearts and change us for eternity, Father. Lord, you know who is here in this house tonight and who is listening across the world upon the internet. We pray that you would minister right now. Let your word go forth. We know it will not return void. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to get to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 35 is going to be the text I read. But I want to tell you where I was at when this thought and burden came to me. I was watching a documentary off the Discovery Network, and there's a new reality show called Monsters in Me. All right. Now, I'm not plugging TV. I'm not giving you a free advertisement. I'm just telling you what I was watching a documentary when this came to my heart. This show is all about parasites. Okay? Gross. Disgusting. But I like science, so I was watching that. Sister Neville, my mind went back to that time. I think you brought in a yellow jacket that, or it was a caterpillar that a yellow jacket had put its eggs in, and it was a parasite. And we had that at school, and came to my mind while we were studying this. So I just wanted to let you know I did learn something. Hopefully, hallelujah. What's a parasite? It's an organism that will attach itself to another organism or a host and literally live off of that host, okay? There's all sorts of different parasites out there, and I, if we've got any hypochondriacs here tonight, please, the chances of you having a parasite are very slim, okay? I'm just getting that out of the way right now. You know, there's some folks, you start describing medical things, and they've got it, and they will be at the doctor tomorrow, and if your doctor likes you, that's great, you know. But you probably don't have a parasite. But if you do, listen up, okay? There are hundreds of parasites in the world. There are some parasites and organisms that are in food, in water, in soil. There are parasites that can be in barns because of specific animal things. There are parasites and a lot of crazy stuff out there. Here's the thing, though. You can't see them. They're so small that you cannot even see them with the naked eye. That's what's so dangerous about it. For months, a parasite can be inside of your system, inside of your intestinal tract, inside of your lungs or whatever, and you not even know it. In fact, there are certain types of parasites that can live for years inside of you without any symptom, without any sign. As I was watching this man, he liked to eat a lot of different things. He, you know, and as he talked about the things he liked to eat, it was just so gross, and I just couldn't imagine. But this guy liked to try things. He liked to try food from different countries, and he worked in California. He lived in California. And one night, a friend of his who happened to work at an Asian restaurant invited him to come. They had a specialty there. They were only going to have it a few days, live miniature crabs. Live crabs. You know, just put it in, start going to town. Live, okay? And he said, you know, that's not a type of meal you want to just, you know, enjoy and say, you know, you just put it in. What he didn't know, there was a parasite that is only found in the southernmost part of Asia that attached itself to that crab while in Asia and had lived off of that crab. And when that man ingested that, it took over that man's system. He woke up one day, and it felt like he described this as an elephant sitting upon his chest. He could not breathe. He thought he was having a heart attack. He, for a few minutes, literally could not get a single breath in and just felt like he was going to die. And then the symptoms subsided. A few months later, he went outside to take the trash out, and upon returning to his home, he could not even walk up the driveway because he couldn't catch his breath, and it scared him. Went to the doctor, and they said, well, we think you might just have something, maybe a cold, and sent him on his way. Missed it. Later on, though, he was at his parents' house for Christmas and had another episode, and they encouraged him, you need to go back to the doctor. When he went to the doctor, they took an x-ray and saw that his lungs were completely filled with fluid. I didn't get to talk to Dad about this too much, but they extracted several liters of fluid from this man's lungs, enough to kill you. They said had he waited any more time, he would have died from a collapsed lung. But when the doctors began to extract this fluid, they found that it wasn't an ordinary, you know, watery pneumonia type. It was brown, and it was greenish, and it was yellow, and it stank. Several liters of this, and immediately the pulmonary doctor knew this was not a typical infection. As they took a sample of this and put it under the microscope, immediately the specialist could see that there were hundreds and hundreds of eggs inside this fluid. They knew that he had a parasite. Now here's the problem. Which one does he have? And as they began to look at this and study it, they realized this man has got a parasite only found in Asia. Certainly have you been to Asia? No, sir, I haven't. Have you eaten anything? He said, well, yeah. And when he told the doctor, they immediately were able to identify and got him antibiotics. And after several weeks, parasite was gone. But what had happened was that parasite was tunneling through his lungs. A worm. Literally boring through his lungs holes that looked almost like an anthill. A worm. Not native to his body. Something living off of him. There was a war going on inside of his body. And Sister Beth, he didn't even know it. Now that's gross. I'm just going to be honest. That is disgusting. And I almost asked Brother Mike to put me some pictures of some parasites and worms up here. But I thought, you know, I love this church. And I don't want to leave. So I didn't do that. Okay, I used wisdom. A few weeks off will give you a good, you know, anyway. Thank you, Aunt Debbie. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That gentleman had no idea that inside of him there was a war going on. That parasite was disabling the man's defenses. It was attacking his own body. His body was turning against itself. The nutrients that would have helped this man was being destroyed by this parasite. And the man did not even know it. And I, as I watched this documentary, this thought came across my mind of how many times I have seen in my own life there have been things that I did not even realize were there, attitudes and the way that I looked at things and mannerisms that I had not even recognized, but they were warring against myself and my spirit, and I realized those were the very things that were destroying me inside of me. Monsters. How many times have we had an attitude that we didn't even know until a situation arose and we found ourselves reacting in a way that we never thought we would ever react? I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but there have been times that I have had a very rotten attitude. Do not amen, Sister Sarah. Hallelujah. I have reacted to individuals who I didn't even know I had a problem with, Brother Dale, until it happened. And I had to recognize I was jealous. I was bitter. I was angry. Church, we are to walk after the Spirit. But there is a war inside of us that this flesh is waging against us. That if we do not take care of, I love what it said in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You see, we are not designed as children of God to harbor ill will. We are not designed to harbor and what I like to describe as a parasitic attitude, an attitude that drains you, an attitude that just it destroys the nutrients of God's word that would be applied to your heart. It sucks the life out of what the Spirit would love to give you. An attitude of lust can destroy in one moment what God has built up in a month-long time or years, can be destroyed in one moment of giving in to a fleshly, carnal attitude, a carnal nature. How many times, young people, have we been in an atmosphere at youth camp that was amazing? It felt like a spiritual mountaintop. And as soon as you got into the van, you found yourself again warring inside. Thoughts, conversations, the same friends, the same phone calls, the same Facebook. I mean, we war against ourselves. How many adults, when you enter into that workplace, you feel your jaw getting tighter and your attitude is, if he says one more thing, you know, that boss who's just on you. Now listen, my boss was here this morning and he's a great boss, all right? I love where we work, okay? But here's the thing. My boss is deaf, so I don't have to worry about him hearing this. Now, that is not a mean joke, because I would say it to him, and he would say it back. So I have a great boss, though. So just in case one of his kids is listening, you're the man, all right? How many adults, though, walk into their place of work, and you're bitter because you were passed over for a promotion? You're upset because you're often antagonized or attacked because of your faith? You're made fun of? You're righted about how you don't do things or why you do things, and you, without even knowing it, you start to feel just not Christ-like. I had a dream last night, and I woke from it, and my heart was so burdened. A young man that I know, and in my dream, I looked over, and his face was so hard, and he was just anger all over him, and I immediately just began to weep, and I put my arms around him. I said, "Listen, it'll be okay. But you've got to let this go." And he began to weep uncontrollably. And in my dream, when I awoke, God, don't allow us to be taken over by an attitude or an action or something that we don't even recognize is there, but it is draining the spiritual life right out of us. Before, we used to be able to get in and worship so easily. And before, it seemed like that we could just walk into your presence and there was joy and there was peace and there was satisfaction. And now, even this service tonight, I feel so desperate in my spirit, so depleted from spiritual nutrients. And I feel like I haven't even tasted of his word in a long time. And it's been such a long experience that I don't even remember what it felt like before. But listen, church, we can be victorious in Christ. He knows where we're at. And he said that if we will live in the Spirit, and if we will put on Christ, he will fill us with himself. Hallelujah. Now, this is just a simple thought tonight, church. Do you have any spiritual parasites in you? I had to look inside today. There's so many times that I feel exactly the way that Paul felt when he wrote, "The things that I do, I don't want to do them. And the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing them." Church, we battle continuously. But if we give in to that, then we have lost all that God has wanted to accomplish in us. You see, there are times that battles are not necessarily bad, but they allow our hearts to reflect upon what God is attempting to do in us, which is not only sanctification, but to bring us to a closer walk with him. There have been times where because of my personality or because of my demeanor, I have found that I am weak in a certain area, and I have battled in that. And oh God, who is going to deliver me from this same monotony and this lifestyle? And I have found that it's in those moments where the Spirit of God, even in a still small voice or whether through his word or through another brother and sister, reminds us we don't have to stay the same way that we are. We don't have to stay in the same attitude. I refuse to live in a life of bitterness. I refuse to live in a life of heartache. I cannot allow myself to continually live in a state that is contrary to the Spirit of Christ. Listen, church, we can be overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. We can be overcomers through Christ because He is our strength. He is our hope. I can't use Irish as an excuse. I can't use that I'm a man as an excuse. I can't use anything that would bring about a fleshly carnal reaction to the Spirit of God. When we war against ourselves, it is not that we have maybe even sinned, but it is this fleshly carnal nature that does not want to submit itself to the will and the law of Christ. This carnal nature that refuses in submission and it refuses to do those things. That's why I believe that when the Word said that my spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, you realize that every morning when you wake up and the Spirit of God is calling to you for fellowship, and yet the flesh longs to stay in the comfort zone. It's what it means when you're in the grocery store and somebody cuts you off in line. And you want to cut them off in their head. You know, how many folks are angry today? How many folks in the church are angry today? I'm not talking, about this church. I love this place. I think we have some of the greatest people, you know. But listen, if we stay where we are, and if we refuse to allow the Spirit of God to bring about a change and a crucifixion of the flesh, and a crucifixion of the desires and lust of the heart, we will never grow in Christ. When Christ died upon the cross, He established the law, and He established the punishment of the law. You know, earlier in Romans, Paul, he said, had I not even known that the law existed, I wouldn't have known that sin was bad. It was just, it's natural for the flesh to do those things. But when Christ established the law, He established that that is wrong. It is wrong to lust, young people. It is. I know that there are natural things that happen in the teenage life, but when you go beyond the natural, when you cross the line of what is acceptable to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is sin. When we as adults bicker and fight amongst ourselves and knock down our brothers and sisters, we are destroying the body of Christ as if a parasite had infected our immune system. If we do not band together and have a strong spiritual body, there is no telling what can infiltrate the body of Christ because of a rotten attitude. Hallelujah. Are we ingesting things that are going to cause dissension amongst us? Do we have ill will against the brother down the row? Do we go the opposite way every time the sister walks down the aisle? Listen, church, we've got to be have enough maturity and self-reflective ability to know that not everything is okay under the sun, but God wants to take us to higher ground. And sometimes that means a spiritual change. Sometimes that means a spiritual cleansing. And sometimes it means making things right. Amen. Romans 6:12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Proverbs 6 verse 34 says, for jealousy is the rage of a man, or the lack of control. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Proverbs 15 verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Does that sound like a man of God? Does that sound like a woman of God? Absolutely not. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Oh, I don't want to be in that number. I want to be a part of the children of God. And I know you do too. Church, we don't have to live in a place where we are missing out on what God intends for His people. I'm thankful for this church. This morning when we are in service, and by the way, let me, a little side note, I meant to say this before we started. We could all hear that the music was wonderful, okay? We saw everything that happened, but I want to give some special notice or recognition. Jessica interpreted her hands off today. And you don't understand sign language, but I do. And I was thrilled at the job that Sister Jessica put in, hours of work. And I just wanted to give her special recognition. It was wonderful. And it ministered to my boss and his family. And it was fantastic. And I meant to say that before I started preaching. But Sister Jessica, you did great. And I appreciated it. It was awesome. So anyway, back to the preaching. It's okay to say we're sorry. It's okay to admit we're wrong. It's okay to give a compliment. And it's okay to let stuff go. I have found that in my just young spiritual life, that if I hold things in my heart that are not like Christ, it'll affect every area of my life. It really will. It'll affect the way that I respond to our youth. It'll affect the way that I do my job. It'll affect the way that I worship in church. It's just like a parasite, like a monster inside of me that, oh, who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I could go down a list today of all the things that are wrong in the world, you know, but right now, what if we just paused for a moment and looked inside? I'd like us to do that right now. Are you struggling with lust? God can take care of that. Is it hard for you to forgive? Maybe it's a family member. Oh, God can give you the grace to forgive that. You see, what you don't realize is that anger and that bitterness and envy and strife and all that is literally destroying the inside of your spiritual man. But God can, and please, I'm not saying this derogatory, God can do a spiritual detox and cleanse that right out of you. He does it by the blood. Oh, he washes over and he cleanses and he fills in those areas that are sensitive. He applies his spirit to those things that need healing. He covers the wounds of those sensitive areas. He gives you the grace to let it go. He comforts you in the pain and he allows the bitterness and he allows the anxiety and the stress to leave because he is a gracious God. When Paul said, oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what he was meaning because he knew the problem that he faced. He knew what he wrestled against. He knew the difficulties that he had. And even Paul was able in that lowest hour to say, God, I need you. I need you. I recognize my need of you. If you've got a physical parasite, you've got to go get an antibiotic. You've got to go to somebody who knows what they're doing with the body. But spiritually speaking, we have a doctor who is the greatest one of all. He doesn't need any machines. He doesn't need any tests. He just applies the word to our hearts and it illuminates where that infectious area is. And he knows what you need to heal. He knows the way to mend it. He knows the way to fix it. And in an instant, all of that time of symptoms of hurt and pain and bitterness and all those symptoms can be washed away by the blood of Christ. You don't have to live in bitterness. You don't have to live in hurt. You don't have to live in that life. You can be free from those things because Christ loves you. He loves you. What does this have to do with Easter? Because he died on the cross. Because he rose again, we crucify this flesh. Oh, we crucify it right alongside Jesus. And we put on Jesus Christ. And we allow him to manifest himself in us so that we can be a better believer, so that we can be a better Christian, so we can be a better family. Oh, don't you want to be the true children of God? I want to be just like my Father. I want to reflect him. I want to emulate him. I don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like that monster that lives inside of me, that fleshly carnal man. I can't wait for the day that Christ returns and for once, or once and for all, that flesh is crucified to the cross for all of eternity. I cannot wait to be freed from this carnal man. But until that day comes, I will live on the Word of God and allow Him to set me free from those things that would bind my heart and bind my soul. I want to live like Christ. Amen. I know you do too. Why don't we stand tonight? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Accomplish your word tonight. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, and this is going to be an altar call for just general across the house, but you know what you wrestle with. I don't know. Brother Cecil, every day, every one of us in this room have things that we wake up to, you know? But just as there is a monster in my flesh that just rises up, there is nothing greater than Christ. There is not a single entity, spirit, faith, anything that is greater than Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Young people, when you go to school, you put on Christ and you let Him live in you. Hallelujah. We don't do it on our own. We can't. Adults, tomorrow when we go to work, let's go with Christ. You're not alone. You're not alone. He's there. And if you are facing bitterness, anger, maybe you've been hurt. And you know what? I'm not demeaning that. There's nothing like being hurt inside, because there's no physical, you know, physical stuff you can change. But when it's inside, and when it's in your mind, and when it's in your heart, there's nothing anybody can do for that. And it seems almost overwhelming. But Jesus tonight is the answer. He can make sense of the confusion. He'll heal that hurt. Hallelujah. Maybe you have been abused and you just cannot get past what that individual did to you. Right now, I want to say in the name of Christ, He's the healer. He's the healer. Emotionally, it'll destroy you. Physically, it'll affect you. Spiritually, it will damn your soul. It'll take you farther than you've ever thought you would go. He wants to take that from you right now. You will know what true peace is when you let it go to Christ. You'll know what true joy is when you let it go to Christ. I want us to come right now. Let's find a place to pray. If you have something that you need to make right with a brother or sister, would you do that tonight? Maybe it's something inside that you just say, Lord, here I am again. Just same problem, but God, I'm going to give it to you right now. Let Him have it. He knows you. He knows you. For so long, you've wanted to be rid of this emotion, this feeling, this desire, this flesh. But right now is the moment God is giving you that you can be changed. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God through Christ Jesus.